Why would one want to abide in Christ? Why take the time to discipline yourself? Why spend time studying God's Word? You know, the reality is there's a lot of people who don't. There's a lot of people who don't take the time to study God's Word. Why would you want to give up your desires in order to obey Christ? We live in a society that says if it feels good, do it. Right? But yet, here you are on Sunday morning in a church that teaches not everything that feels good is good. Why would you want to give up your desires in order to obey Christ? Why would you be willing to suffer for His cause? Those are the questions that I hope to answer this morning. So I want to look at what are the benefits of abiding in Christ. What does it mean to abide in Christ? And the first passage I want to look at is John chapter 8, 31 through 36. And this is a passage that I've referred to many times. It might be one of my favorite passages. It actually is one of my favorite passages. But John 8, 31 through 36, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." A couple interesting things about this passage. The first thing Jesus says, and where he's talking to people who believe in him, right? That's what the passage says. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Abide in my word. Let me ask you a question. What did your mother say when she wanted you to listen? Did she have a phrase that she would say? Okay. My house, my rules. Anybody else? Anybody have like, you better listen to me or you're going to get it when your dad gets home or something like that. Anybody have that one? Well, when Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed," that is what he's saying. He says, you need to listen to what I am saying and do what I am saying. And the people that were there were like, yeah, we want to be your disciples. That's why we're here, to listen to you, so that we could abide in your word and be your disciples. And then he says, and you will know the truth. And they're all like, yeah, we want to know the truth. Absolutely, that's why we're here. And he says, and the truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. And they looked at each other. What's he talking about? I came and knocked on your door and said, hey, I got some cookies I'd like to sell you, and I want to give you some freedom. You'd be like, what? What are you talking about? And that's what they said to him. We are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Jesus is not talking about political freedom or debt freedom. He's talking about spiritual freedom, freedom from sin. He says a slave, somebody who is a slave to sin, does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And if the Son makes you free, then you shall be free indeed. And so he's saying, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples, and you will also gain the advantage of being a part of God's family, which is spiritual freedom. And so one of the reasons why we want to abide in Christ is because the result of abiding in Christ is spiritual freedom. God's word is the truth. There is no other truth besides God's word. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. And it's the truth that will make you free. There is a lot of people out in the world telling you what they think the truth is. And a lot of it is absolute rubbish, absolute lie. It's God's word that is the truth. And only through Christ can we obtain that freedom. The next passage I want to look at is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You know, it's kind of interesting. Before I left for Africa, I was growing some pepper plants. I love peppers, but sweet bell peppers, oh, they are so delicious. And I had them downstairs. I had started them, and they were downstairs in the basement. And they were probably about, oh, I don't know, maybe this big, something like that. Well, guess what? I was not able to take care of them in Africa. So before I left, I sent them over to my brother, Stephen, and his wife, Jackie, and said, hey, these need a place to live. And so they planted them. And yesterday we went out there for a birthday party, and I got to see those pepper plants. And they have a ton of little baby peppers that are just starting to fruit. And you know how happy that made me to see all those little peppers? I was very happy, and I went in and I said, Jackie, are those my pepper plants that I planted? And she said, yes, yes, they are. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Jesus is the vine. He is the one that gives us the spiritual nutrients. He is the source of our spiritual vitality. And so as we abide in him, we are able to bear fruit. But if we do not abide in him, we become unfruitful. Now, also, I have a story that was not such a great success. My wife, when she was down in Florida, I think, buying our big van, was it then or another time, she bought me this bonsai tree. which I do not have a great success with bonsai tree. I love bonsai trees. They're beautiful little trees. But so far, I've killed every single one that I've had. And this one was no different. Matter of fact, I think it's in the back by the kitchen. It did not bring me any glory. It is dead. It is going to be thrown in the trash. It makes me sad just thinking about it. And so, those who abide in Christ bear fruit. Those who do not abide in Christ, they wither and die. And they are gathered together and thrown into the fire. And they are burned. They're of no value, no use. And even those who abide in Christ, it says that the Father prunes so that they can even bear more fruit. So one of the reasons that it's important in our spiritual journey to abide in Christ is to be fruitful. But I think it's important that we understand the fruit that God is talking about, the fruit that makes him proud, the fruit that brings him glory, is not the success that the world touts. I can tell you this. God is not impressed by YouTube subscribers. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of YouTube subscribers, but that does not impress God. God wants real fruit. What are some of the fruits that God talks about in his word? Well, we have the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, goodness, right? Annabelle just talked about how she got lost, and yet she had peace. Where does that come from? Well, that comes from the ministry of God's Spirit in your life. Why does a gardener spend time planting, watering, fertilizing, weeding? Because they want fruit. And God wants to see us grow fruit in our life. Not only the fruit of God's Spirit, but also the fruit of bringing other people into the kingdom. That's why it is important to go out and tell others about Jesus. And so, one is to bear fruit. The third point is we abide in Christ to have joy. John 15, 9 through 11 says, "As the Father loved me, and I also have loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, that's kind of an interesting formula. First, keep my commandments, abide in my love, my joy may remain in you, and your joy will be full. Now, many of you have heard the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? And a similar point could be said about the Father as well. There are benefits to having happy parents, right? And there are benefits to living your life in such a way that it pleases your parents. It pleases your Father. The best way to please the Father is to obey his will. When the Father is happy, he rolls out blessings. I was just having this conversation with one of my children, actually probably several of my children this week, about how important it is for him to understand what his parents are trying to accomplish so that they can receive the blessings of obedience. That, yes, they have their own will of what they want to accomplish, but when they do their parents' will, that there is a great blessing that comes along with that. And it is the same in our spiritual journey. Yes, we can pray, we can ask God into our heart, and then we can go back to serving our lusts, but that will not bring a lot of blessings into our life. What will bring blessings into our life is when we keep God's commandments. And what are His commandments? To love God, to love others, right? To live a life of love and abide in His love. And as we learn to do that, as we obey those commands, then we are filled with the joy of the Lord. And then we can agree with Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The fourth point that I want to make, the fourth reason that we want to abide in Christ as we live our life, is to have confidence at His return. And I think this one cannot be underscored enough. Jesus is coming back. He is going to return. And what are we going to say when we see Him? There's a passage where Jesus is contemplating His return and He says, "Will there be any faith on the earth when I return?" First John chapter 2, verse 20 through 28 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him. For when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Christ sent the Holy Spirit to abide with us, so that as we live out our Christian journey, we might live and know the truth and live according to the truth. We not only have the Holy Spirit, but we also have the Word of God. And so we can know the things that we are to know, and so that we can be obedient and live out the faith that we have been handed down. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that we have everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ through His Word. So the question is, are you being deceived? Because there's a lot of people out there that want to tell you there are a lot of other ways to find fulfillment in life. There are a lot of other ways to achieve that desire of acceptance that you want, right? And we've had it all month, right? Pride, right? Hey, be gay. Hey, be a lesbian. Hey, be transgender. Hey, be every other sexual perversion or confusion out there. That will bring you fulfillment in life. There are many false teachers who are going out into the world and telling and deceiving many. But God's word teaches us that we don't need to listen to that garbage. We need to listen to what we have been taught. Because Christ is going to return. And when he returns, the LGBT lobby is not going to be able to save anybody. When he returns, he is going to judge the wicked, and he is going to cast them into the lake of fire. And the question is, will you have confidence when Christ returns? Are you waiting for his return? Are you putting your hope in his return? Or are you going to be ashamed? We need to abide in Christ so that we will not be ashamed when he returns. 1 John 3, 4 through 6 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. If the word abides in you, meaning if you are studying God's word, if you're applying it to your life, if you're learning to understand it, to obey it, to love it, and if God's Spirit abides in you, and you're listening to God's Spirit, and you're learning to do God's will and to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, one, you won't be deceived. When wickedness comes before you and says, oh, hey, do this over here, you'll say, I ain't doing that. But two, you won't want to do what is wrong. Imagine, anybody here have parents? Anybody ever have parents? See who's paying attention. Anybody here have parents? Yes? Sarah, did you have parents by chance? No? Okay. Imagine your parents leave, and they give you a list of things to do. Okay? Now, I can tell you, my children have had this experience. And they say, your parents say they're going to return, and that that list should be complete. And as soon as they walk out the door, one of your siblings turns on the television and starts watching television. Another one grabs the phone and starts talking on the phone. And you say, hey, aren't you going to work on the list that we were given? And they say, oh, don't worry. Mom and Dad won't care if the list isn't done. You know that when Dad and Mom pull in the drive, they won't have that cavalier attitude. But the question is, what are you going to do? The reality is, Christ is coming back. He is going to appear in the sky. And yeah, there is a lot of people doing a lot of wicked things today, and they say, oh, I don't care what God has to say about that. But when he appears in the sky, they won't have that cavalier attitude. But the question is, what are you going to do? And the last reason why it's very important that we abide in Christ is so that we can receive a full reward. 2 John, very short book. It's only got one chapter, so it's all chapter 1. But verses 7 through 11, 2 John verses 7 through 11 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You know, there are a lot of people today being deceived with all kinds of garbage. Some people say, we should just accept people how they are. We should just celebrate whatever sin they want to celebrate. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. But here's the thing. They're not only deceiving themselves, they're deceiving people who had a relationship with God, who were following after God, and now they're hearing, what does the world say? Oh, hey, it's just love. Everybody loves everybody, and everybody should be able to love everybody. And they say, oh, wow, sounds really good. Maybe I should just celebrate love. And they're deceived. And he says, look to yourselves that you do not lose out on those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Because Jesus is coming back and he is going to reward those according to what they do. Stephen got a t-shirt yesterday for his birthday. It was about Jesus is coming back. And that verse was from Revelation, said, I'm coming back to reward people according to what they do. Don't be deceived. Don't lose your reward. Don't lose your standing with God. Whoever transgresses, the NIV says, goes ahead and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Does not have God. Now, scholars will debate over whether this means losing your rewards or losing your salvation. But the obvious thing is if we're deceived and we're not abiding in Christ, we have lost our relationship with God. And so we must be very careful about who we allow to teach us, who we allow to come in and dwell with us, what we allow to be on our television, what we allow to be on the screens in front of our minds. Because what goes into the ears, what goes into the mind, goes into the heart. Jesus is coming back. He will return to award those who are faithful to him. And there are many today who doubt his return. They think that obeying his word is a waste of time. And there are others who think it is okay to pursue their own lusts and then later try to appear to please God. You know, Cain brought an offering to God, right? He wasn't an unbeliever. He was a believer. Right? He was a believer in God and he brought an offering. And God was not pleased with his offering. There are many deceivers, and some of those deceivers are trying to convince our children of all kinds of lies. Whether it be they can be any gender they want, whether it be they can chase sexual perversion with no consequences. They want children to doubt whether they were created by God. Doubt whether there's a difference between male and female. The most obvious and basic things like anatomy, We're just supposed to question them. Like there's no reality. But the reality is God is the creator. He has made the rules. And he is going to judge us according to those rules. But he has also came and given us his word so that we could honor and please him with our life. And there are great blessings when we do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't want to reduce the blessings of our relationship with you to just a few points on a page. Your love for us is unexplainable, undeniable, that you would take on our form. You would take on our weakness so that we could understand your love and to know you, and that you would suffer so that we could have life. And you experience death so that we could take off death and put on life. These things you did for us because of your great love, your great power, your great majesty. And you did that so that we could abide and have a relationship. Not just to mark something off of a page, to read a prayer, or to just wear a t-shirt. Lord, so that we could have a life full of blessing and hope and goodness. That only comes through maintaining and developing a relationship. Abiding in you, your teaching. Other people out deceiving those around us, Lord, we ought to be burdened to share the truth, to stand up for what is right and what is just and what is good and what is lovely. Not the perversion that the world offers. It's empty and hollow and meaningless. That which is true, that is built on a foundation that will last. Not just for 1,000 years, but for eternity. The lies of the world, they are recycled, they come and they go. Your word is true. Your word is everlasting. And those who trust in you will not be put to shame. So Lord, I pray that we would obey your word, abide in your word, and live. Lord, I pray that everyone here this morning would be willing to say, yes, I want to abide in Christ. I'm willing to do your work. It doesn't matter what other people around me are doing. I want to abide in Christ. It doesn't matter what other people say. I will trust in God's word. Lord, I pray.